Mama Nawawi, author of the 40 Hadith, which we read all over the world, the 40 Hadith of Nawawi, who did the most authoritative commentary on Sahih Muslim, the second most authentic collection of Hadith. He wrote a book in support of it. So there's Imam Nawawi, big scholar. According to authority, others say, well, the whole Muslim world does it. Only those who oppose it. They're a small group. Wahhabis. Put a name on them. The Wahhabis. These are the ones who oppose celebrating the birthday of Allah. Others say, well, it is our way of showing our love for the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Is that bad? To demonstrate our love of the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, is that a bad thing? Making it seem good. Who can say it's bad to love the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam? And some may even take verses from the Quran and say, well, this verse is beginning. One occasion, somebody told me, when I, in explaining about the Maulid, said that there is no evidence from the Quran and Sunnah to support me. The person said, no, there's a verse in the Quran. Well, please tell me. I'd like to learn this verse. He said, it's the verse in Allah, wa malakatahu yusalluna ala nabi. Ya ayyuhalladhina amanu sallu alayhi wa sallimu taslima. So what we hear right here. So, what is the response to all of this? The first response is historical. Just look at this. What day was Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam born on? We have no proof that Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam was born on the 12th of Rabi al-Awwal. How's that? Everybody knows that. Oh, they don't. If you go to the authorities, let's call on the authorities, the historians, and ask them, what is the proof for the date of birth of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam? And they will tell you, there is no proof. We don't know when he was born. We know that he died on the 12th of Rabi al-Awwal. That we know. That is certain. But that he was born on the same day that he died, we have no proof of that. Just as we don't know when Prophet Isa, the prophet who came before him, was born. Of course, all this is the 25th of December. Everybody knows it's the 25th of December. We all celebrate, the whole world celebrates on the 25th of December. I say, go back to the history, ask the historians. Yes, sorry, we don't know what day Prophet Isa was born on. Allah hid the date. That's why we don't know. Because Allah hid it. And that is why, for 300 years, after the time of Prophet Isa, after Allah lifted him up, for 300 years, no birthday for Prophet Isa was celebrated. They knew then it was unknown what day he was born. And also, they knew, according to their own beliefs, that celebration of birthdays was a pagan practice. The pagan Egyptians, the pagan Greeks, the pagan Persians, these people celebrated birthdays. It was not a part of prophetic tradition to celebrate birthdays. Moses didn't celebrate his birthday. Abraham didn't celebrate his birthday. David didn't celebrate his birthday. None of the prophets celebrated their birthday. So they knew it was a pagan practice. But by the 4th century, when Christianity had become so innovative that it was virtually indistinguishable from the other pagan religions, then a monk claimed that the birth of the Prophet Isa was on the 25th of December. Some say he saw it in a dream. Anyway, that belief spread. And there are a whole bunch of issues behind when you look into the historical significance of the 25th of December. You know, that's a whole other story. But, point to note that the birth date of Prophet Isa was hidden by Allah. The teachings of Prophet Isa were innovative. Religious innovation crept in on the teachings until the religion became indistinguishable from other pagan religions which existed in the world. Instead of worshipping the God of Jesus, people worshipped Jesus as God. That's where they ended up. Innovation took them to the point where instead of worshiping the God who Jesus worshipped, they began to worship Jesus as God. God incarnate, as they call it, meaning God having become a man. That is the consequence of innovation in religion. That is why Prophet Muhammad was so severe in his warnings against innovation in religion. So many hadith. The Sahaba knew it. So they feared innovation. Even in some things that we might think, why would they fear it here? The collection of the Quran. Collection of the Quran into one text. When Umar ibn al-Khattab suggested it to Abu Bakr, because Abu Bakr's first response, how can I do this? Prophet Muhammad didn't do it. Innovation, this is what he feared. Omar ibn al-Khattab, talking with him, reasoning with him, showing him that the Prophet had instructed people to write it down for what purpose? To preserve it. The amount of written materials was limited at that time, so different people wrote here, there, and everywhere. So to bring it all together, rewrite it up, one authoritative text, this is the preservation, this is the completion of what the Prophet began. So he convinced him. Allah refers to the Quran, ذَلِكَ الْكِتَابُ لَا رَيْبَ فِيهِ. This is the book in which there is no doubt. The book.
divine ascension.
And we look at the evidence. We find no evidence to establish the 12th of Rabi al-Awwal as the date of birth of the Prophet. In fact, if you look at the statements of the historians, they have mentioned 6 or 8 different dates, possible dates. Maybe it was this day, maybe it was that day, maybe it was this other day. All around the year. But the 12th became popular because the first people who began to celebrate the birthday of the Prophet began it on the 12th. And who were the notable first? Our brothers. Alhamdulillah, wa salatu wa salam ala Rasulillah. Lord may also give some blessings to me on the last messenger of Allah. As we said, the arguments in defense of bid'ah have no weight when we look at the evidences. Those who say, scholar so and so said, okay, didn't say anything. We say, what about the great imams? Imam Abu Hanifa, Imam Malik, Imam Shafi'i, Imam Ahmad ibn Hanbal. Did they give it the okay? Did they celebrate? No. Their non-celebration is evidence that it is not to be done. And each person that is mentioned, there are greater scholars than them in the previous generations who did it. The other argument of love of the Prophet, we have to ask, did the Sahaba love the Prophet less than we did? They who used to fight over the remaining water left when he was making wudu, he made it from a container, a bowl, they would scrabble amongst each other. I mean, good fighting, not fighting, you know, just, I want it, let me have some. To get the leftover water which dripped from his hands when he made it. Do they? Did they love him less? No. They loved him more. They were with him. And they didn't celebrate his birthday. So the argument of love is fallacious. It has no basis. In fact, when Allah talked about love in the Quran, He clarified that love has its indicators. And the most important indicator of love is obedience. That's the most powerful indicator, external indicator of love, obedience. So he said, in kuntum tuhibbuna Allah, fattabi'uni yuhibbukum Allah. If it is that you love Allah, then follow the messenger of Allah, and Allah will love you. Follow the messenger of Allah, and Allah will love you. So if it is about love of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, then we show our love for him by following what he has instructed. The more conscientious and eager we are to apply the teachings that he taught, is the greater our love for him. Indicator of the greater our love for him. So, the arguments of love fall flat when we look at the practice of most of those who celebrate the Prophet's birthday. We don't see in their lives obedience to Rasulullah. In fact, what we see is mass disobedience. Mass disobedience. weak I is. The proper way to show love is to follow His way. Follow what He said. Follow what He did. He used to fast Mondays and Thursdays. Every Monday and Thursday, this was His practice. To fast Mondays and Thursdays. And when He was asked about fasting on Monday, He said, among the reasons why He fasted on Monday, and He gave a number of reasons, but among those reasons, He said, it was the day on which I was born. It was the day on which Prophet Muhammad, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, was born. Monday. So how did He commemorate it? By fasting. How do people do it today? By everything but fasting. So if we really love Him, we want to show our love and, you know, obedience, etc., fast every Monday. Don't put it one day in a year, so you can show your real love of Prophet Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. One day in the year and the rest of the year, you show your hatred for Him. Every Monday, fast. That's what He did. So, of course, people might fast every Monday. Requires effort. Real love requires effort. You don't want to do it. And this is one of the things that the scholars of the past have pointed out, that whenever a bid'ah arises, a sunnah dies. When a bid'ah is born, a sunnah dies. So the sunnah of fasting on Mondays is dead. Only a few people do it. So the fact that the vast majority of the Muslim world doesn't fast on Mondays, is that proof of anything? The only proof it is that the sunnah is dead amongst them. So drawing on the huge numbers of Muslims today who celebrate the Prophet's birthday the way that they do, singing, processions, party, food, that is not proof of anything. It is only proof of misguidance. Clear evidence of misguidance. So, the last argument, the argument from the Quran, where the people say, "Inna Allah wa malaikatahu yusalluna 'ala an-nabi," indeed Allah and the angels pray for the Prophet, or pray for the Prophet, seek peace for the Prophet, that this is proof for celebrating his birthday, we again ask, did the Sahaba understand that? This understanding that you have, that this verse, or if you bring a hadith, this understanding that this man is celebrating the birthday of the Prophet, did the Sahaba understand that? If they say no, the Sahaba didn't understand it, then what are they saying? We understand from the Quran more. We understand the Quran more than the companions of Prophet Muhammad, sallallahu alaihi wasallam. That is blasphemy. That is heresy. And if they said yes, they did understand it. But they didn't do it. Then we asked them, what does that mean? The Sahaba understood that they should celebrate the ministry? So that argument of that understanding is a false argument. It has no basis. And this is how we judge each and every one of these various innovations that have crept in amongst the sinners today. When people bring them, what is our response? We ask, is this a hard one?
Other
teach them stuff. We ask.